Nemoto presents filmmaking giants. Akira Kurosawa, The Bridge Between East and West. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 18 minutes. Akira Kurosawa. Hello, and welcome back to filmmaking giants who changed how we see the world. If Hitchcock perfected the art of arranging our fear, Akira Kurosawa perfected the art of arranging motion. Wind through grass, rain across armor, the sudden turn of a head that becomes a cut, the march of a group that becomes a moral. He was a painter who turned movement into brushstrokes, an editor who wrote with rhythm, a director who layered action like weather systems, and a humanist who believed that clarity of composition could help rescue clarity of conscience. He made images that never stop moving even when nothing seems to happen. Banners breathing in a field, fog editing a mountain, a face discovering truth, and dragging the camera forward by invisible rope. He was born in Tokyo in 1910 into a house where the father loved uniforms and discipline, and the mother loved stories and softness. An older brother, Higo, made a living as a bencher, the theatrical narrator who stood beside silent films and gave them voice. Young Akira followed him to screenings, learned that pictures need music and words and, more than either, timing. He trained as a painter. The brush taught him patience and silhouette. He learned to love the line that makes a body legible at a distance. The 1923 earthquake took a city apart like a set. He walked ruins with his brother and learned the habit he kept all his life. When disaster arrives, look, do not turn away, and then make a record, so that the future will have something clean to hold. He entered the film world as an assistant director at PCL, then Toho, where labor and experiment mixed. He learned on sets where weather was an inconvenience you worked with rather than against. The painter's eye remained while the editor's hand formed. He cut practice reels at night. He discovered transitions he would later baptize in public, wipes that carry the eye decisively from plane to plane, axial cuts that jump closer along the camera axis rather than dollies that betray the apparatus, cuts on motion, so the splice is swallowed by the body. He directed Sanshiro Sagata during the war and fought censors on both sides of defeat. He made no regrets for our youth as a man who believed that moral courage mattered more than slogans. He met an actor named Toshiro Mifune whose face could throw a room off balance and whose walk could establish a village's weather. When people say Kurosawa invented a new way of seeing, they often point, rightly, to Rashomon. A crime in a grove, a dead man who tells his version, a bandit who tells his, a wife who tells hers, a woodcutter whose story keeps changing as his shame ripens into honesty. The temple gate in ruins, the rain heavy enough to carve the air, the forest canopy flickering sunlight like a nervous thought, a camera that looks up into the leaves and makes the viewer squint with the character. The film was not a manifesto about relativism. It was a drama about responsibility. He choreographs testimony the way he choreographs swordplay, with pauses that weigh more than speech and with angles that refuse to settle into a lie's geometry. The world learned a name for the phenomenon, the Rashomon effect, but the label should not obscure the craft. He carved each account in a distinct rhythm, the bandit's tale with swagger and slashes, the wife's with tremor and stillness, the husband's from beyond the veil with a theatrical gravity that edges on no, the woodcutter's haltingly, the cuts tightening as conscience corners him. Rain at the gate gives the audience time to breathe. The final act gives the audience a task, a baby abandoned, a choice to take responsibility even when the story refused to make you comfortable. If motion is his script, weather is his pen. He uses rain not only to dramatize but to draw. The Kamisori rain in Seven Samurai turns battle into mud where heroism has to learn to be helpful instead of glamorous. The wind in Throne of Blood is not background. It is Macbeth's witches translated into meteorology. Snow in Dirce Yzala writes across tundra, like a line that may be your last. He refuses ideal conditions because ideal conditions lie. When the world pushes back, characters show their shape. He keeps returning to this lesson with a stubbornness that looks like love. Choreography should not flatter bodies. It should test them. Drunken Angel and Stray Dog are post-war noir that prove he can stage a city like a wound. A tubercular gangster, Mifune, is a broken animal and also, still, a person, a doctor. Takashi Shimura is a scold and also, still, a man who drinks too much and chooses to care anyway. Tokyo Sump becomes a mirror and a palette. Music plays struggle rather than cool. In Stray Dog, the search for a stolen gun is really the search for self-knowledge in a heat wave. Kurosawa builds suspense with footsteps and with the geometry of streets. He edits so that the viewer recalculates angles at every turn and feels, in their thighs, the exhaustion of pursuit. He keeps cutting on action so that the city and body remain continuous. Watching him, editors learn what dance already knew. Begin a move in one shot and end in the next, and the mind performs the join. When he wants to look at authority, he builds it into topography. High and low starts in a hilltop modernist house owned by a shoe magnate and descends, both literally and morally, into an industrial slum with windows that sweat and a river that carries dye like a subtle alarm. The kidnapping plot is a machine. The camera studies what the machine runs on. Class, envy, the fantasy of control. The first half is a chamber play at the top of the world where a man learns that the price of conscience may be his fortune. The second half is a long walk among those who cannot afford philosophy. Kurosawa puts smoke in the air so that wealth and poverty have their own climates. He invents, under austerity, a shot where the air turns pink as a chemical marker lifts off the kidnapped boy's clothing and into the city. Information becomes color and color becomes accusation. He is called an action director because he cuts with nerve. The phrase is half blind. The deeper truth, he designs movement across the frame so that the cut merely releases energy that the composition has already stored. In Seven Samurai, he covers action with multiple cameras, often three, on long lenses that compress space and make the downpour into a curtain the body slice. He can then move between angles in the edit without losing directionality. Because the lens compressed, the eye reads cuts as intensifications rather than as dislocations. He layers axes of motion. Riders left to right, foot soldiers right to left, rein vertical, banners diagonal. Your eye cannot be confused because it always has a line to hold. The battle is chaos human beings try to humanize. The final frames refuse triumph, graves grow like teeth. Relief is earned and then corrected by grief. Akira sits on the other end of a spectrum, the quiet end where purpose becomes a swing in a park on a winter night. A bureaucrat, Shimura, learns he is dying and decides to make a park. The film divides itself in two, a life discovered and then awake where colleagues reinterpret the life with their own flattery and fear. He edits the first half as a pilgrimage, nightclubs, family disappointments, a writer's companionship, the smallness of a desk, until a choice blooms without rhetoric. He edits the second half as a trial, men speaking, women grieving, memory rectifying reputation. The swing scene teaches the cinema humility, a song sung softly, snow falling, a frame that refuses to move, meaning that arrives because the director left room for it. You go back to films with explosions and find them suddenly adolescent. Throne of Blood translates Macbeth into fog and drums and the formality of no. The actors' faces are masks and then, slowly, become faces again. The forest moves because the camera allows it to. The prophecy is made of wind and path. He stages the end with real arrows, archers off camera aiming near Mifune's body, arrows thunking into the wood a hand's width from human flesh, because the risk must exist for the image to carry weight. We call him fearless. That flatters him and excuses ourselves. He is careful with danger. He respects it. He calculates. Then he believes the audience can love truth if truth costs sweat. Yojimbo and Sanjuro make comedy out of confidence. A ronin wanders into a town divided by fools. He plays them against each other not because he enjoys harm, but because he knows that sloppiness with power kills more surely than blades do. The composition is a manual for clarity, foreground action for motive, midground for consequence, background for the weather that punishes both. He uses the wipe like a brush, right to left when the story moves that way, along the axis of a character's body when their desire pulls them. Wipes are not a flourish. They are a decision to announce movement rather than hide it. He is teaching editors to be proud of transitions again. Color arrives, and he refuses to let it be a coat. Dersey Izala discovers that the taiga contains a code of conduct older than states, attention to small signs, humility about large forces, gratitude that can fit in a cup. Kachimusha dresses armies in banners and arranges the banners so that the wind becomes a chorus and a decoy can be a king because the country wants a silhouette more than a soul. Rand sets three armies in three colors on three hills and watches filial piety fall apart in ash. Toru Takemitsu's score arrives like grief with discipline. The blood is shocking, and then the film rolls past shock into structure. The blind man at the cliff's edge at the end is not a parable. He is a person whose world has been taught to him without mercy. The camera steps back, not to aestheticize, but to admit that some fates need space to be understood. Kurosawa edits himself because he writes with cuts. The editing room is his second brush. He speaks sometimes in interviews as if the shooting were the chore and the cutting the real work. This is not self-flattery. It is a report from a craftsperson who understands where a film's music is made. He cuts on the gestures the audience can finish for themselves. He trusts viewers to hear the beat. He returns to actions, a door slamming, a head turning, a cup set down, and uses them as caesuras. He is wary of dissolves because life rarely provides them. When he uses one, he places it like a rest in a measure. He loves the wipe because time in his films is purposeful. It moves sideways as often as forward. He also paints his storyboards. The paintings are bold, blocks of color and stroke, more poster than sketch, because he is testing whether a shot will read at a glance. You can learn two things from this habit without ever touching a camera. First, design your scene so that meaning is visible even without subtleties. Second, allow your subtleties to exist anyway so that the scene will reward a second look. He paints a field red not to shock, but to ask whether the emotion will carry when the orchestra is quiet. Later, in Dreams, he allows color to be a subject, Van Gogh's sunflowers as a storm a man can walk into, and you feel the painter saying thank you to the kid he once was. His collaborators matter. Fumio Hayasaka's music in the 1950s gives the films a nervous system. Masaru Sato takes the baton and adds swagger and blues. Takemitsu brings austerity and ache. As for performers, there is the empire of Mifune, wolf and clown and leader, and the steadfast light of Takashi Shimura, functionary and saint, blank and tender. Kurosawa often writes relationships in pairs, master and apprentice, doctor and patient, judge and liar, lord and double, samurai and farmer. He draws their geometry on the floor, triangles of advantage, lines of approach, and the camera learns the diagram before you do. Even when he crosses the 180-degree line, he tells you he is doing it with a wipe or a banner. Confusion rises and is calmed because the hand at the tiller is steady. It is tempting to paint the life as victory upon victory. That would be a betrayal. The years after Redbeard were stony. A co-production collapsed. He was fired from Tora. Tora. The industry he helped train turned away. Despair arrived like whether he could not redirect. He made a terrible attempt on his own life. The painter's habit saved him. He returned to small work and then slowly to films funded partly by admirers overseas. Dersu Yuzala rescued his belief in the possibility of attention. Kajimusha and Ran restored his armies and his sorrow. He became, in old age, a man whose mistakes had not untaught him his craft. The films carry that humility. They are luxurious in color and severe in meaning. When Kurosawa smiles late in interviews, you see a man who has learned how to accept thanks without pretending it erases pain. What can you carry into your day? Begin with layers of motion. Do not fill the frame. Compose it. Let foreground, midground, and background each perform a different rhythm. A hand pouring tea, a child crossing a doorway, laundry moving in wind. Then cut on the hand, not on the noun. Your editing will feel like walking rather than teleportation. Consider weather as a collaborator. If you cannot summon rain, summon time. An afternoon that changes light, a fan that makes papers breathe, a street whose leaves tell you what season it is. Weather is, finally, the name for context, and context is the name for compassion. Use wipes with intention. The wipe is a signature when you sign the page. It tells the audience that you are not pretending time is natural. It is honest, and honesty makes style durable. Practice ensemble clarity. In a meeting, arrange chairs like Kurosawa arranges bodies in a courtyard. Hierarchy's visible, but not unchallengeable. When a decision approaches, let the person with least status cross the frame, not by speech, but by presence. Watch how that changes the conversation. Practice moral choreography. If your story contains violence, stage it with the weight his arrows have, real risk felt by a body, not balletic consequence for decoration. If your story contains grief, stage it with the restraint of his swing. Let the audience do some of the work so that what they create in their chest belongs to them and will last longer than applause. He is called the Emperor, sometimes with love, sometimes with unease. The title misses the point. The films stand because they grant dignity to small courage. A bureaucrat builds a park. A woodcutter tells the truth at last. A band of farmers learn to value the dead while they plant. A lost soldier becomes a guide. A blind man walks toward a cliff, and, for an instant, we wonder whether we, off camera, will call out in time. He believed that composition could remind us who we are when speed tempts us to forget. See how often he holds a shot a breath longer than you expect. The extra breath is where conscience returns. The lesson is as usable at a kitchen table as on a film set. Arrange the room so that the best in people has space to appear, then do not cut away when it arrives. Thank you for listening to this episode of Film Making Giants.